This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour golf tournaments, including the upcoming and already sold out Todd Wright Tour XXVII. It will be October 3rd at West Chase Golf Club. At the most recent Todd Wright Tour Championship, Brandon Legal Group sponsored shirts for everybody in their bags, and they will be providing some gift baskets available as prizes at Todd Wright Tour 27. Had lunch recently with Sean and Jeremy from Brandon Legal Group. I asked them, any new message? And Jeremy and Sean just looked at me and said, we're the same company. We're doing the same things for people. Keep the message exactly as it is. And that message is simple. You need not ask what type of law Brandon Legal Group specializes in. You may need to ask that with other lawyers and other law firms. Brandon Legal Group can handle whatever it is that you have as your legal issue. They are a full-service law firm, and they service the greater Tampa Bay area. Sure, the home office, I've been there, business reasons, personal reasons, open house, is based in Brandon, but they service the greater Tampa Bay area. They encourage you to call anytime for a free consult at 844-4-BLG-4ME, 844-4-BLG-4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Also, the Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Papa John's of Tampa Bay. It was a good thing I popped into Papa John's on West Kennedy last night to catch up with Denny very briefly and take a couple of papadillas home for my hockey watching, because I asked for updated numbers on the Shaq-a-roni. And as of yesterday, the Shaq-a-roni promotion, at least for now, is over. It did over 3 million pizzas in roughly 7 weeks. That also meant at a dollar per pizza to charity, that's over $3 million. I have a feeling that the Shaq-a-roni will be back, but if you're trying to order it going forward, now they might tell you they'll do it today or tomorrow, but technically I was told by Denny, one of the managers on West Kennedy, that yesterday was the last day. But that's just part of promotions and what companies do in limited menus, etc. But over $3 million raised for charity from sales of the Shaq-a-roni pizza. Meanwhile, the papadillas just continue to fly out of Papa John's, and I love them, and everyone that I've talked to loves them as well. Four different flavors. You can vary them slightly in terms of the sauces or the ingredients. I enjoy a papadilla roughly once every 2 weeks, and specific to the Papa John's of Tampa Bay brand, they have been feeding or offering pizza prizes to my golfers for the entirety of the Todd Wright Tour, which is going on its sixth year. Thanks to Mike Lentz at the store on West Waters, Denny Gray at the store on West Kennedy, and overall, my appreciation to Papa John's of Tampa Bay for what they do for the Todd Wright Tour and for the Todd Wright family of podcasts. You can email me for Toddcast purposes at wright.todd@yahoo.com. If you want golf information, if you'd like to be on the waiting list for Todd Wright Tour 27, or just want to know more about my golf tournaments, ask some basic questions. My golf tournaments are for male and female players. We have senior tees for players 60 years and older. We encourage all skill levels. We do not use handicaps, and don't you dare make the mistake of saying we are similar to those charity scramble fundraisers that don't care about the golfer. The Todd Wright Tour was born because I played in so many of those events. And look, the fundraising element is fine, but if you're not going to care about the actual golfer, that's where, to me, there was a disconnect. What am I really getting for my money? Why are they doing this via golf and not via a 5K or some other reason? The golfer wasn't getting enough out of it. So I took those mistakes and created my own tour. And indirectly, we often help some charities, but that's not our focus. My focus is golfers, the golf experience, the golf value, golf gifts. It is all about golf. I do no fundraising, none. And I have a lot of local businesses that appreciate what I do. They get the word out about their local businesses, such as Brandon Legal Group, Papa John's of Tampa Bay, DaCosta Realty, and various other companies, that my other caterers that I work with, many golf courses that I work with. That's what the Todd Wright Tour is about. So don't you dare associate us with the charity scrambles that it's fine what they do for fundraising. 90% of the time, everything else they do could be upgraded. That's what I've upgraded. And I leave the charity fundraising to other organizations. Meanwhile, I do want to say DaCosta Realty, who helped sponsor the gift bags at the recent Todd Wright Tour Championship. Ebony reached out to me in the last couple weeks and asked if I would donate some school supplies for some baskets for teachers in various counties in the Tampa Bay area. And I'm just waiting for her to tell me where to drop it off, because I do know a middle school teacher who said that the whiteboard pens are invaluable these days. So I went to a local store and bought all the 8-packs they had. And I have them in my car, and they will be put in those baskets that Ebony DaCosta and DaCosta Realty are giving out to some special teachers locally who often have to reach into their own pocket for school supplies for some of their children. So, and I know today, at least in the in Hillsborough County, I believe, is the first day of school. So good luck to everybody that's involved with that. I have no kids. I have no skin in the game there. I'm not involved. I've seen the battles back and forth. I hope this all goes well. I wish you all well and was happy to donate some school supplies to to the baskets that DaCosta Realty are putting together. So I don't turn my back on charity elements. I just leave that to other people, and I run golf tournaments for actual golfers who want good value, a good golf course, an organized tournament, less bells and whistles, more uniqueness from a golf standpoint, and good value. All right, on to the Todd Wright Toddcast, because as we have begun the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, first of all, the day game element is going to go away in many cases now, simply because we have the fewer games. So most of the games will be in the evening now. There will be some exceptions, obviously, and most of that or much of that will be on the weekends, where NBC wants a game on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, where they don't have other programming. And there may be an exception or two to that. But in terms of when you've only got now four teams in the East playing two series and four teams in the West playing two series, across the two arenas, the afternoon games are going to be much less prevalent, which was the case the first month because there were so many games to play and only two rinks to play them. So it'll feel more like a normal kind of playoff routine for you, the viewer, as well as the players. As we speak, three series have begun. I'm recording this at roughly 2 p.m. on Monday afternoon. Three series have begun. Dallas won its first game against the Avalanche. Boston won its first game against the Lightning. The Golden Knights won their first game against the Canucks. And I'm just guessing tonight is game one of the only other remaining series, and that's the Flyers against the Islanders. Let's first start with the Lightning, because when I last left you, and it had been a common theme of our Lightning playoff podcast from last year and the Toddcast, the failures that this organization had last year in the playoffs, and then the unanswered questions going into the Columbus series. The questions were answered. It doesn't change anything about the result from last year. That is still one of the biggest embarrassments and one of the biggest upsets in National Hockey League history. But the Lightning didn't let it happen again. And granted, there was two overtime games. One was a five overtime game, but the fact that both went the Lightning's way not only said that the series was closer than the final outcome, but it's to the Lightning's credit that they won those games, and Braden Point won both of them. Vasilevsky never stole a game. Now, granted, across five overtimes, he never gave up a goal, so he does get obvious credit, just as Korpisalo did, for the fact that that playoff game went, game one went five overtimes. The fifth longest game in National Hockey League history, fourth or fifth longest game in National Hockey League history. Kucherov wasn't bad, but he was part of a line that was good. It wasn't Kucherov doing it on his own, putting team on his back and winning games. He could have won that five overtime game twice with yawning nets, one of my favorite new terms that I've learned during these playoffs, and he missed both. But Braden Point did not. He ended game one. He ended game five. His line mate, Andre Palat, said he's the best player on our team. And you haven't heard a disputed word from that from his line mate and last year's Hart Trophy winner in Nikita Kucherov. So now look, Kucherov being on that line allows Braden Point some space to do what he does. And Kucherov also makes passes and plays to allow Braden Point to be productive. But the line works very well together. And was one of the big reasons why the Lightning defeated Columbus. Another reason they defeated Columbus were the performances of a lot of players who did not play in the series nearly 500 days before. Guys like Coleman, Shattenkirk, Maroon, Gaudreau, Bogosian, there were, it seemed like at a lot of key times, it felt different because different players were on the ice for significant ice time than what happened in last year's playoff embarrassment to the Blue Jackets. So not much was done in the offseason, but in terms of at the trade deadline, some acquisitions were made. Also, the Lightning's third line, which I believe is what? Gaudreau, Coleman, and Gord was excellent. Not quite that put us over the top level of the one line with Point finishing the job with help from Kucherov and Palat, more with Palat's skating ability than anything else, kind of stretching things out. But it worked. You often hear the word grit about a team that is successful in the playoffs or a team that isn't successful in the playoffs, doesn't have it. There was grit there. There was toughness. There was a physical nature. They played more than just one way. I still believe Tortorella is the better coach, but the Lightning were the better team. Columbus wasn't as good as they were a year ago. There were clearly some players that were gone. Experience of goaltender was gone. You know, the more I think about Bobrovsky, you know, and sure, he took the money. But when you, as a hockey player or a coach, when you go to the Florida Panthers, with the exception of 1996, you go there to disappear. You go there for the lifestyle and for the paycheck because you're not going to win a Stanley Cup. You're not going to compete for a Stanley Cup. Someone had to remind me, Pete DeBoer, now the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, once coached the Panthers. He's had success everywhere he's been except there. It's not him. It's the Panthers. It's sort of like players that go play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And other than that one year where they went to the AFC title game and blew the fourth quarter lead against the Patriots, you go there for the check, for the Florida lifestyle, although it's much colder and rainier often in Jacksonville than it is in Miami or even Tampa or Orlando. And you go there for no state income tax, and you're not going to compete for a championship. There are just those franchises in every sport, and that's just a couple. But when Bobrovsky went to the Panthers, he went to a system that did not emphasize defense in front of him, and he he's season suffered because of it. His wallet is better. He's set for life financially. But what Tortorella did in front of his goaltenders, clearly Bobrovsky misses that. It reminded me of, remember a number of years ago when Edgerrin James left being the running back behind Peyton Manning, and he took the money and he went to the Arizona Cardinals. And he got to the Cardinals, and at one point he said, I didn't think it would be this difficult when he changed teams. And it just showed, and you know, Edge is a University of Miami guy like me, but it just showed Edge wasn't thinking the right way. He was thinking more with money than he was with the system. If you're lining up as a running back behind Peyton Manning, do you really think any defender cares about you? And if you line up as a running back with the Arizona Cardinals, do you think any defender isn't caring about you? The Bobrovsky move kind of reminds me of that. So the Lightning don't have to blow it up. They don't have to fire Cooper, which they had to do if they lose to Columbus again. They have to fire Cooper, and they probably need to make some other pretty significant changes to the roster and kind of go forward, you know, saying we're going to do it this way now, and there's some things that we have to redo. They don't have to do that now. But where do they go from here? Their loss in Game 1 to the Boston Bruins, it wasn't awful, and the Lightning had actually performed well against the Bruins all season. It was a 3-0 game that became 3-2 late. The Lightning never had the lead. I think what it ultimately came down to was Boston has often been considered to have the best or one of the best lines in hockey. Arrogantly, typical for Boston, called the perfection line. But I like all three players. I'd like all three on my team no matter what my team was. You may hate Brad Marchand, but there have been players like that for many years in the National Hockey League. You only hate him because he's not on your team. If he's your teammate, you love the guy. And there are going to be times he does some emotional things that actually set your team back a little bit and you got to cover his ass, but there are more pros than cons with it. Pasternak is so good, and Bergeron is just the perfect center for that group. That top line was the reason Boston won the game. It's very simple. Braden Point didn't have any magic in game one. And the Yanni Gourde line, which was really good against Columbus, didn't have a good game at all in game one against Boston. But that still feels like a very competitive series to me. And I still think the Lightning should be favored in it because they get last change in a majority of the games. Because remember, there is still technically some advantage to being the higher seed in the NHL, unlike the NBA, coaches get last change. And Boston is down to their second goaltender. There's a reason he was the second goaltender and not the first. He's not as good as Tuukka Rask. And I don't think there's any coaching disadvantage. As John Cooper has faced at some points, losing the Stanley Cup to Joel Quenneville in 2015, losing to John Tortorella last year against Bruce Cassidy, I don't think there's a coaching disadvantage. If I were to take one, I'd take Cooper over Cassidy. The fact that the Bruins haven't won a Stanley Cup in recent years, I think part of the problem is they don't have a Stanley Cup caliber coach. That's my opinion, because they have a good roster. They have a deep roster. Granted, they have this superior number one line, but just look at the Washington Capitals and all the years they fail and tell me what having a top line means if you don't have something else. And, of course, I loved what someone said on NHL radio prior to the Todd Reirden firing, which was as obvious as anything. Said, you know, who's the arrogant son of a bitch that lets Barry Trotz walk away when there was no connection between him and the Islanders or who hired him? Because who else was lining up to hire Todd Reirden to be a head coach? I mean, come on. Horrible decision by the Capitals. And they let some they let some really good guys get away. And granted, after you win a cup, a lot of people want to get paid. But the Caps weren't able to roll four lines. They looked a lot like a one-line team to me at times, and that's odd considering Oshie was not on that number one line at times and others. But they got old and didn't seem to have leadership. And that is why I think the Islanders are very live. There were only two teams that weren't in the top four coming into the Stanley Cup qualifiers that are still alive. One is the Canucks, and they're not going to go quietly, but they seem overmatched against the Vegas Golden Knights, and the coaching matchup and the goaltending matchup also favors Vegas, and just the depth favors Vegas. Vancouver has some very talented players, Horvat, Petey, as he says we can call him, Elias Pettersson, Hughes on the back line. And they have some decent third and fourth line guys too. But Vegas, just their roster, I said it before the playoff began, Vegas's roster 1 through 20 looks stronger than any team that went to either of the two bubbles. And as a result of that, they've played 1, 2, 3, 8, 9. They're 7-2. Since they're 8-1. They're 8-1 since they've gone to the bubble. There's a reason for that. And you can only hope, if you're a fan of the Golden Knights, that the agent posting that pic on Twitter of DeBoer putting a knight-like knife sword through Marc-Andre Fleury's back isn't going to be an issue. I don't think it is. I think that's part of hockey. I think that could be an issue with an NBA team. I think that could be an issue with a Major League Baseball team, or maybe even a football team. But that's not hockey, and I don't think it will be. And last night was another example of that. But I think the Islanders have an opportunity against the Flyers. The Flyers just got no offense from anyone who provides it and has provided it all year in their opening round series against the Canadiens. The more that series went on, the more the Flyers didn't look like a very good team. Now, at times they can, and they certainly, I'm sure, will show some of that against the Isles. I mean, they're better on faceoffs than any team in the playoffs, and they're better at the center position than any team in the playoffs. But Carter Hart is very young. Coaching matchup, I lean Oates. I don't think it's huge because Vigneault has been doing this for so long and he's been in so many playoff battles that I think there is a value there. But there is some magic with Trotz, and you just need to look to what happened 2 years ago to see it. So I give the Islanders better, an even chance against the Flyers to get onto the conference finals. And as far as the other series between Dallas and Colorado, I think Colorado is the better team, but they don't have the coaching edge. Because again, Bonus, who was fired from Tampa Bay for no real good reason, Bonus is there. And just, you've got guys like Bonus, Perry, Pavelski. Yeah, that Dallas team a few years ago was the highest scoring team in the league, and it got them nowhere. And then they've gone to more of a defensive identity by bringing Bonus in as an assistant and then him taking over the team, although still we haven't seen Ben Bishop in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think he got one game in group play, and that's it. I'm not sold on the other goaltender. I'm just not. I think you signed Ben Bishop for a reason, and this is the reason. Dallas is winning they're winning by scoring a lot of goals. I don't think that's how they're built. That's how they were built years ago, not now. Colorado's not – I don't think Colorado – how do I put this? I mean, MacKinnon is so good. Everything that people seem to want out of McDavid – and Matthews and Tavares, MacKinnon may have what they don't. You just need to look at the fact that MacKinnon had virtually no penalty minutes prior to the pandemic. And then once we've gone into the bubble, he's matched that because he wants it so bad. And they are such a confident group. I'm willing to write off game one as kind of a, hey guys, it's not going to be easy. And they lost their starting goaltender. So now they go to, how do we pronounce it? Francouz, as their second goaltender. But there is hope there. Even though they lose Grubauer to what looked like a pretty bad injury. So, I still like Colorado in that series at this point with the goaltender injury and the just the experience of a Rick Bonus, a Pavelski, and a Perry, and with how good their blue line is, I could see Dallas winning the series, but I'll still lean to Colorado even though they're down a game because I'm just not sold on Dallas as a Stanley Cup-type team. Colorado, to me, is faster. And they're more skilled. They just might not be ready. So that's where we're at in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm really enjoying the games. I'm kind of missing the games in the afternoon, but it's going to make it easier to follow the action in the evenings, that's for sure. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group. Call anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG for me, and by Papa John's of Tampa Bay. Thanks for listening.